Mostly, he worried about their shoes. That and food. Always. In an old bat-board smokehouse, they found a ham gambrelled up in a high corner. It looked like something fetched from a tomb, so dried and drawn. He cut into it with his knife. Deep, red, and salty meat inside. Rich and good. They fried it that night over their fire, thick slices of it, and put the slices to simmer with a tin of beans. Later he woke in the dark, and he thought that he'd heard bull drums beating somewhere in the low, dark hills. Then the wind shifted, and there was just the silence. In dreams, his pale bride came to him out of a green and leafy canopy, her nipples pipe-clayed and her rib bones painted white. She wore a dress of gauze, and her dark hair was carried up in combs of ivory, combs of shell. Her smile, her downturned eyes. In the morning it was snowing again, beads of small gray ice strung along the light wires overhead. He mistrusted all of that. He said the right dreams for a man in peril were dreams of peril, and all else was the call of languor and of death. He slept little, and he slept poorly. He dreamt of walking in a flowering wood where birds flew before them, he and the child, and the sky was aching blue. But he was learning how to wake himself from just such siren worlds. Lying awake in the dark with the uncanny taste of a peach from some phantom orchard fading in his mouth. He thought if he lived long enough, the world at last would all be lost. Like the dying world the newly blind inhabit, all of it slowly fading from memory. Daydreams on the road. There was no waking from them. He plodded on. He could remember everything of her, save her scent. Seated in a theater with her beside him, leaning forward, listening to the music. Gold scrollwork and sconces and the tall columnar rolls of the drapes at either side of the stage. She held his hand in her lap, and he could feel the tops of her stockings through the thin stuff of her summer dress. Freeze this frame. Now, call down your dark and your cold and be damned. He fashioned sweeps from two old brooms he'd found and wired them to the cart to clear the limbs from the road in front of the wheels. And he put the boy in the basket and he stood on the rear rail like a dog musher and they set off down the hills, guiding the cart on the curves with their bodies in the manner of bobsledders. It was the first time he'd seen the boy smile in a long time. At the crest of the hill was a curve and a pull-out in the road, an old trail that led off through the woods. They walked out and sat on a bench and looked out over the valley where the land rolled away into the gritty fog. A lake down there, cold and gray and heavy in the scavenged bowl of the countryside.
"What is it, Papa?"
"It's a dam."
"What's it for?"
"It made the lake. Before they built the dam, that was just a river down there. The dam used the water that ran through it to turn big fans called turbines that would generate electricity."
"To make lights?"
"Yes, to make lights."
"Can we go down there and see it?"
"I think it's too far."
"Will the dam be there for a long time?"
"I think so. It's made out of concrete. It'll probably be there for hundreds of years, thousands even."
"Do you think there could be fish in the lake?"
"No. There's nothing in the lake."